Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to preach every now and then. And I did kind of was thinking the same thing. It's been a little while, but I'm not the one to ask, you know. I'm not going to school to ask Brother Tommy, hey, let me preach, you know. We let the Lord work all that out. But I definitely enjoy it. I love studying the Word of God. I love preaching. And this is a passage. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 33. Tonight, and this is a passage the Lord kind of put on my heart earlier in the year, and in my notes app on my phone, I have kind of my prayer time in there, and I have an outline of things I pray, and a prayer I've taught the teenagers for years is Acts prayer. It's A stands for adoration. When you go to, you know, spend time with the Lord, it kind of plays off the Lord's prayer, what all's involved in that. You go to the Lord and you praise Him for a little while. Then you do C, which is confession. Then you do T, which is thanksgiving. And then S is supplication, where you ask God to work in different situations and your needs and all that kind of stuff. But it goes along with, you know, going to the Lord ahead of time. And instead of just going to God and throwing all your problems on Him, you go to God and you spend time with Him initially. You know, you just adore Him. You get your heart and your mind. It's really more for us. We get our heart and our mind in the right place and focus on the right things. Instead of focusing on our problems, we go and we focus on how great God is and remind ourselves, hey, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. You know, He's the creator of this universe. And I like to think about, hey, He's sitting on His throne in the universe. And this earth, as big as we think this earth is, and all that we think this place is so important, all the things that are going on in our life are so important, it is Jesus' footstool. And it's like, it's nothing. And we're going to get, you know, we're going to have that enlightening as soon as we cross over the other side. And all the worries and problems we think we got, we're going to realize it wasn't that big a deal, even though it's a big deal to us in the moment. But this passage God had put on my heart, and in like I was saying in my notes app, I got different things I pray about in different passages, different verses that He's put on my heart. It'll speak to me, and I'll put it in that, and I'll look at it for a few days, or, you know, I'll look at this one or that one, and I'll read a few of them over and over for many days in a row, whatever I'm kind of going through, you know, what I'm going through that week or that month, and let the Lord speak that truth to me. And this passage, He put it in my heart. You know, I'd run across it early in the year, but then it—I don't know—it just kind of seemed kind of dead to me. So I would skip over it a lot, and then in the last month or so, He kind of just kind of brought it back to me, and I started feeding out of it, and started getting some stuff out. And that's so neat. That's how the Word of God is. You know, there's always something in the Word of God for us right here, right now, right in this moment. And one verse or passage that may not be speaking to you last week, in a month or so, it might be exactly what you need. And what's happening in here, we're going to be in verse 12, Exodus 33, verse 12. We're going to go 12 through 17. But, you know, the Moses and the Israelites, they're out in the wilderness. They're getting close to getting into the promised land. And, you know, the Lord's, He's just kind of getting tired of it. He's getting fed up with them. He says, you know, these people are rebellious. They're hard-hearted. They're stiff-necked. And He was like, hey, y'all just go on without me. Y'all go on into the land, and, you know, I'll send an angel in there with you and take care of all the Hizzites and Perizzites and all them people. I'll take care of all them. And Moses was kind of like, hold up, God. You know, Moses had lived enough life, and he was like, I don't know if that's a good idea, God. I don't know if that's exactly what we need to do. And so, when you read in here, and when you read, you know, from beginning of verse chapter 33, it's talking about how they set the tabernacle. They would set it up a little ways away from the camp, and Moses would go in there on a consistent basis, and he would meet with God, and the pillar or cloud would actually come down in the tabernacle door, and it said Moses would meet with God face to face. And I'm like, wow, which is kind of, I mean, that's amazing, but it kind of makes you think, well, what exactly does that mean? Because we're going to see at the end of the chapter that no one's allowed to see God's face. So I'm not exactly sure how that all worked. And he hid, you know, Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he put his hand over, and he passed by and let Moses see on his backside and wouldn't let him see his face. But anyways, it's showing you Moses had pull with God. Moses could meet with God. And when he would go to the tabernacle, he'd go in the door, it said the people, the Israelites, would come out to the tents, the doors of their tents, and they would watch as Moses would go in the door. They would watch him. And as the pillar of cloud would come down, they would begin to worship, you know. So the Israelites, I mean, they still had an understanding of the presence and the power of God, even though they were rebellious and wanted to go their own way. And you know, it's an exact picture of our hearts. You guys know, you know your heart. I mean, you know it as well as you can. Only God really knows your heart. But you understand, like, we can be in love with God one moment and the next moment be, I mean, just our hearts be set on something, you know, terrible that we know is not good and not for us. And it's a constant spiritual battle that we face day in and day out to keep our hearts and our minds in the places that God wants us to be. And so Moses gives us a perfect example. This is what I want us to think about tonight. Do we value the presence of God and learning how to value the presence of God? Moses is going to show us here. Now, this is something Moses had to learn just like we have to learn. You know, when he was younger and he made mistakes here and there throughout his life. He's not a perfect man. None of us will ever be perfect. But he had learned to value the presence of God. And so the thought is tonight, do I value the presence of God? And we're going to look at these different points that he gives us here. Let's start in verse 12, Exodus 33, verse 12. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And so what I want to start off with, learning from Moses' example, If you want to analyze yourself and say, do I truly value the presence of God in my life? Do I truly want him? In verse 12, Moses gives us the example, and kind of before that, is that Moses consistently sought the Lord. Moses consistently sought the Lord. And I would ask us the same question. Think about your life. Think about your day, your week. Do you consistently seek the Lord? Is your time with the Lord, is it important to you? Is it a priority? You know, there's a fine line, the time that you spend with the Lord in prayer. There's a fine line with it being a ritual. We don't want it to be a ritual. We don't want it to necessarily be a duty. When you are in love with somebody, when you're falling in love with somebody, it is not something that you have to do. Now, if God is something, if that's where your relationship is with God, that he is something you have to do, he's a duty, I would say you're not in a good place. You're not understanding this thing. You're not understanding how this is supposed to work. It's a love relationship. It's understanding that he loves you. And you grasping the depths of that love and that unconditional love and his goodness and his mercy for you and his good plans that he has for your life and the good things that he wants to do in you and through you. You grasping that, and as a result, you literally actually falling back in love. You falling in love with him. You thinking about him consistently. You thinking about him constantly. You're desiring to be with him. How many... times throughout our lives, you know, has church kind of become a routine, you know, or something that we have to do? If it's something you have to do, you have to make yourself do it, you're missing it. You're messed up somewhere. You're not in a love relationship with God. If thinking about sitting still, getting quiet before the Lord, and just sitting down and praying for an hour, if that grates you, or if you've got so much turmoil and anxiety going on in your heart and your mind, and you can't settle down for an hour and just spend an hour a day with God, it's like you're missing it. You're not getting it. All right, you're not in love with God. All right, you may would tell people you are, but what does it actually look like? Moses actually consistently would go and spend time with God, and I don't know exactly how often that would be, but it was definitely important to him. And the passage I read this morning, you know, Matthew 6:33, this has kind of been on my heart, and it talks about seeking God first, you know, and doing what's right. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. And that's as simple as Christianity can be, as he says, just learn to seek me, learn to value me, learn to make me important to your life, learn to prioritize me, make me first place in your life. You know, and that does have something to do with, do you start your day off with God? Do you actually stop and spend time with the Lord sometime early in the morning? You know, and I you know, growing up, I used to hear preachers say, you need to pray as early as you possibly can. And I was not a morning person. I was like, I'll do my best. And, but it was kind of promoted and pushed as a ritual, as a duty. But I've learned as I've gotten older, it's like I can't afford not to start my day off with God. If I try to go off and work and do whatever I got to do, and I haven't gone before the Lord, and I haven't tried to get my soul renewed in Him and get focused on good things and right things, I promise you, I'm going to mess my day up. Out of trial and error, the Lord is teaching me as I've gotten older, I can't afford not to. I've got to spend time with God out of necessity, because I've done messed up too many relationships. I've said the wrong thing. I've said it at the wrong time. I've said it in the wrong way. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt people. I want to be used of God to be a blessing to people, to be someone that brings hope to people, that helps heal people. And you can't do that without spending time with God. You can't do that without seeking Him. You can't get filled with the Holy Spirit without spending time with God. And giving him time to reveal things in your heart and allow him to analyze your heart and reveal those things to you, confess those things to him, and turn your back on those things. And I would say this, not only should it be, we should consistently seek the Lord, and I do believe we should seek the Lord as early as we possibly can, but there should, at least one time in your day, there should be a place that you go to. Now, I believe we should be talking to the Lord. We should be seeking the Lord on and off all day long. But at some point, I think there should be a place that you consistently go and meet with God. I believe it shows God that He's important, that He's a priority, you know. And two, it gives you that opportunity to be alone, to be by yourself, and get rid of the distractions. And you have to find a way to make that happen. And in today's world, it's very hard. We got so many distractions, but we have to understand, we can't afford not to. We've got to figure it out. We've got to figure out a way to completely give our hearts and our minds to the Lord at some point. And I believe Moses earned the right to speak to God candidly, which is what we're going to be looking at. Now, I know the Bible says it in the Old Testament, says it in the New Testament, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. His presence is always with us. But I promise you, there's something more. It's like, and he even says it, you can grow in favor with God by actually seeking God, by actually spending time with God, by actually building that relationship with God, by building that rapport with God, letting Him see that you value Him, letting Him see that you listen to Him, letting Him see that you don't want to make decisions without His leading and His guiding. And you can earn that right. I believe as Moses did, he's God was saying, you go do this. And Moses saying, Lord, no, I don't want to do that. Let's do this. I don't want to go if you're not going. And I think Moses had earned that right to speak to God candidly and straightforward to God like that. Verse 13, it says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people." Number one, if you want to grow in learning the value of the presence of God, you got to spend time with God. That is a result. If you value the presence of God, you spend time with God. That's important to you. But number two, in verse 13, Moses desired to know God and his ways. He desired to know God and his ways. It wasn't just time that he spent in prayer conversing with God, but he wanted to know who God was, and he wanted to know God's character. He wanted to know how God thought. He wanted to know the decisions that God wanted to make and the directions that God wanted him to go. In Psalms 1, it talks about the blessed man. The blessed man is talking about he's the prosperous man. He's a happy man. He loves life. He's full of life. It says because he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in the Bible. He delights in truth. The happy man, the prosperous man, is someone who has their heart and their mind set on God and the things of God, good things of this world. And we can focus on anything we want to focus on. We can focus on good things. We can focus on bad things. There's plenty of both in this world. And the truth is, if you want to be happy, you can be happy. And I know a lot of people don't believe that. They think that happiness, it's a result of their circumstances, that everything in their life has to be going great and everything has to be perfect. And this person has to be nice to me. As long as people are being nice to me and saying good things to me and nice things, then I can be happy. And our happiness has nothing to do with that. Our happiness is a choice, and it's a choice of seeking the Lord and putting our hearts and our minds, getting focused on the Lord, getting focused on the solution to our problems and not our problems. And when we get down in the dumps and we carry these burdens, I was looking around this morning at all the people, and you know, some would be smiling and some would be just sitting there, you know. And some, you could just tell they had a heaviness. There was a burden that they were carrying. And hey, you know, we're all human, and I go through that same stuff. There's days and weeks that I struggle, and I'm trying to battle and prayer, and you know, but you're carrying these things, and we know that hey, it's God wants to carry those things for us, but it's a struggle. It's a spiritual battle. And you're looking around, and you see this person, you see that person, and you can just tell, man, they're carrying something. Something's weighing on them. And you're thinking, well, what maybe is going on in their life, you know? But to that person, it's a big deal. If you or I heard about it, we may not think it's that big a deal. That same person 6 months from now may look back at the situation they're going through and think, well, it wasn't that. It's not a big deal to them anymore because they've gotten past it. They've gotten through it. But the truth of the matter is, even while we're going in and through it, if we'll get our heart and our mind on the Lord and take time to focus on Him and truth and feed off of the Word of God, He will become bigger, and He's the solution. And we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. We just know it's going to work out. And it brings release. It brings freedom. And our problems get smaller. And it comes down to all about who are we focusing? What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on our problems and the things that we think we wish we'd get better? And you know, if we've got that kind of mindset, then we're going to be down. We're always going to be down. We're going to always be struggling because there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be something that we're going through. And we've all got this. None of us get out of this life without this. You're going through something. I'm going through something. Everybody's going through. If you're breathing, you're going through something. But the answer is keeping our heart and our mind on the Lord, staying focused in truth. I hope you have verses that you look at consistently, that you look at on a daily basis, and you meditate on it, and you dwell on it. And that's what Psalms 1 talks about. The blessed man, the happy man, he delights in truth. He delights in the law of the Lord. He's happy because he keeps his mind on truth. He keeps his mind on the solution. He keeps his mind on the Lord. Truth brings freedom, And it also brings confidence. Keeping your mind on the Lord will bring confidence in your life. It'll bring confidence in your decisions that you're making. It'll bring confidence in where you are in your life at the moment. Now let's look at verse 15. He says, Moses, he goes, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And this is the part I like the most out of this whole thing. Moses is talking to God, and he's refusing. Moses, this is point number three. If you want to know that you value the presence of God, Moses sought the Lord consistently. Moses desired to know God and his ways. And thirdly, Moses refused to move or act without God. He refused to move or act without God. He refused to make a decision without God. I don't know about you, but most Christians, most of us, are too impatient. We've already got our mind made up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We pray about it, and we pray maybe 5 seconds about it. And if we haven't felt some kind of inclination or this or that, should I buy this car? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm talking mainly about big decisions. I don't think any of us really pray a whole lot about, am I going to go to Jersey Mike's today or am I going to Hugh and Magoo's? I don't know. You may pray about that. I don't know. I mean, maybe we should, but I'm talking, who am I going to marry? What college am I going to? Should I approach this person and have this conversation? I heard something's going on in their life. Please, 1,000%. I've learned this the hard way. Pray about that before you do that. Pray about that before you approach someone. Give the Lord time. You've heard the passage, I don't remember exactly, somewhere in the Old Testament, where they prayed and it took several days for that prayer to get answered because that angel that was bringing the answer to the prayer was being met with opposition by demonic forces, okay? So we don't have the patience that we need as the children of God. We got to understand that prayers take time, okay? So you can be praying and pray the next day. And then pray the day after that. And then pray the day after that. But have the same attitude that Moses had, that I'm not doing anything, God, until you make it clear. And he had learned this the hard way. You know what I'm saying? Moses had messed up many times, just like me and you have messed up many times. And he'd made mistakes, and he had made decisions. And he had done things without waiting on God and listening to God and waiting for God to move. And this just shows the spiritual maturity of Moses' life. Of course, he's getting on the latter end of his life. And he said, I'm not doing it, God. I'm not moving without you, God. I'm not doing it. He was satisfied to just stay where he was. And he said, where were they? They were in the wilderness. Okay. And I promise you the Israelites, the people, They probably wanted to go on in the promised land. They wanted to go and get the goods and have the blessed life. And that's what a lot of Christians have. We just want the blessings. You know, we want God to just do for us and give us and make our life great and all this kind of stuff. And Moses said, you know what? It's better if we just sit here in the wilderness with you, God, instead of us going to the promised land without you. And he had learned that from trial and error, and the key for us is to learn it. You don't have to wait till you're 80 years old to learn that. You can learn that when you're 10 years old. You can learn that when you're 20 years old. And the key is getting to that place in your walk with the Lord to where you realize that, hey, it's okay just to be still. It's okay to just stay where you're at and do what you're doing until the Lord makes it clear. And you say, well, how does the Lord speak to you? I definitely think he speaks to you through the word. There's been many times where I've been praying about something or dealing with something, and he keeps bringing this verse up, you know, or something in the word of God, and he keeps showing this verse. And then he will use people. If you are seeking the Lord about something, you're bringing something up to the Lord consistently, he'll bring a passage across your path. He'll bring a person across your path to say something, or Learn to ask advice from people you know walk with God. You know what I mean? Don't ask advice from people that you just you know they're going to give you the answer that you want to hear. Learn to ask advice from people that you know truly walk with God and love the Lord. And then, yeah, I do believe the Lord does speak to us through our heart and through the Holy Spirit and through impressions and through inclinations, you know. I would never make a huge decision in my life without completely having peace in my heart and being in a good place in my walk with the Lord. You know, if you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, don't make a major decision. Don't make a life-changing decision, you know. Wait, give it time, get focused back on the Lord, get back on the fundamentals and seek the Lord. Get your heart and your mind in a good place with Him. And in time, give the Lord time to make it clear. And a lot of times what He'll do is He'll just work that situation out on its own and make it so obvious and basically leave you with no choice. There's the only path you can take. And so the key is just learning to wait on God and being satisfied with just being still and staying where you're at. But we get so impatient. We want our prayers to be answered immediately. In verse 16, it says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And what this shows us here, Moses understood God's presence was the prize. Moses understood God's presence was the prize, not the blessing. And that's where I think we get it wrong a lot of times as Christians. I think what I said a while ago, the Israelites, I promise you, they wanted to get into that great land with all the blessings, and they were focused on that. Moses had the wisdom to say, you know what? No, the prize is His presence. The prize is God's presence. Learn, I hope, you know, when we're thinking about our lives and we're walking with the Lord and we have temptation and we have this and we have that, you know, you all know, like I said, the Lord's presence. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But if you're ignoring the Lord, if you're not seeking Him, if you're giving in to temptation and you're not obeying Him, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, becomes quiet. It becomes dormant in your life. Why would He continue to speak to you if you're not going to listen? You know, and so that's what Moses understood that, and he said, "You know what? I value Your presence, Lord, more than I value the blessings." And so, are we simply satisfied just being with God? And that's the thought. That's the question. Are we simply satisfied just being with God? The people of Israel valued the blessing more than the presence. And I think our attitude should be, I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's ahead in my life. I don't know what my life's going to look like. But I know it's going to be a whole lot better with God. It doesn't matter where I go or what I do as long as it's with God. Because His presence is the prize and not the blessing. The presence has to do with this. It has to do with seeking the Lord. It has to do with taking time to get to know the Lord. It has to do with listening to the Lord. And it has to do with waiting on the Lord, but also trusting the Lord. Who or what are you trusting in? Do you truly believe in your heart that God has what's best for you? Do you truly believe that God is going to lead you into the best thing for you? And that doesn't mean an easy life. That doesn't mean a perfect life. That doesn't mean a problem-free life, okay? But this is what valuing the presence of God entails. It's being content, learning to be satisfied just with God. This life is long. I know it's short compared to eternity, but you know what I'm talking about. We can get stuck in the day-to-day routine, going to work, going home, eating dinner, going to bed, getting up, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. I think when you're young, you got more to look forward to, I guess, you know, and things that make you excited, or like Brother Tommy was saying this morning, you know, Six Flags makes teenagers excited. It makes adults, you know, the opposite. It's like, and so when you're young, it's like you got so many more distractions. As you get older, you can get stuck. Man, life just becomes so mundane and so routine. But it's learning that the presence of the Lord is what it's all about. It's about the journey. It's about the day in and day out walking with the Lord. And whether we do something today or we don't do something today, God, it don't matter, because I'm just with you and whatever you want me to do. And I know that in time there's going to be some awesome things that happen in my life, and you're going to work here and you're going to work there, and you're going to use me here and you're going to use me there. And it's just learning to be satisfied with God and be content and trusting Him. Be willing to do nothing, because you're better off if you're with the Lord. Just like Moses, he was willing, hey, Lord, I'm willing to just stay right here, even though we've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm ready to get there. But if that's not where you're going to be, I want to be right here. And so maybe you're going through something tonight. Maybe you're struggling with a problem or a relationship, and you're just hoping that, hey, I just want this thing fixed. I want this thing over with. I want it in the past. Well, you know, God allows those things for a reason. And usually those reasons are He's got to grow us. He's got to teach us. He's got a plan. He's got something, and you don't know what it is, and you're not going to know. You may never know, but maybe he'll reveal it down the road. But you just got to learn to trust Him, and you just got to learn to enjoy His presence in the moment, and learn also, if you're not sensing His presence, if you're not feeling His presence, so to speak, that's what you need to be seeking. That's what you need to be after. You don't need to be worrying about this or that or getting blessed or whatever. You just need to be seeking Him and getting to know Him. And the result is this. This is what happened, because Moses had grown in this way and he had matured. He had learned. Verse 14, it says, and he said, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses and the Israelites enjoyed rest in peace. And I think the people got to enjoy it mostly because of Moses and who he was and how he valued God. They just got to kind of tag along. But God answered his prayer, because Moses, I'm telling you, if you think you can just ignore God for days and weeks and then just throw up a prayer and he's just going to move, it don't work like that. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get to know God. You've got to build rapport with God. That's what Moses did. He consistently sought the Lord. He valued the Lord. He showed the Lord that you're a priority to me. And I think it made a big difference with God when Moses said, God, I'm not willing to go. I'm not willing to go without you. He almost refused to go without you. And God looked down and said, you know what? I appreciate that. This man understands. This man, he was very unique amongst all the people of the world, and probably even today, there's very few people that value God this much to where he would say, you know what, I'm going to do what you ask. And again, Moses was not asking. He wasn't asking for a perfect life. He wasn't asking for a problem-free life. He wasn't asking for an easy life, because that's not what the Christian life is. That's not anybody's life. And a lot of times we buy into that lie. We think that this person's got it easy and that person's, you know, got no problems. And it ain't. I promise you, we all got problems. We all got things we're going through. But we can all have peace and rest in our heart and our soul as we walk with the Lord, as we spend time with the Lord, as we value the Lord. And then lastly, verse 17, God not only answered Moses, but gave him more than he asked for. And I think that's a neat thing. He not only answered his prayer, and this is how he did it. He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He not only answered that prayer and said, I'll go with you, but he actually, when you read verses 18 through 23, he actually allowed Moses to see his physical presence. And that's when he put Moses in the cleft of the rock and he put his hand over and he passed by. And then he took it off and allowed Moses to see as he walked away. And he said, no, you know, no man can see my face. So in closing, I asked this question, what do we value? Many Christians just want God so he'll bless them, make their problems go away, give them the good life, so to speak. Do we want God for his blessings, or are we satisfied simply with his presence? And I pray, hope and pray that that's just something that we all kind of come to tonight. We think about, you know, what is our motivation? What is our motivation to seek in the Lord? What is our motivation to come into church? You know, what is our motivation to prayer and spending time with God? Are we just wanting blessings? Are we just wanting an easy life? Are we just wanting God to make everything better? Or do we value Him? Are we seeking Him? Do we want His presence? And I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight, Brother Tommy.